Right, I'm going to go ahead and transition to this microphone here. Genesis chapter number 6. Let's look at Genesis chapter number 6. As you're turning there, I do want to clarify one thing about our video. I didn't realize when I was having it made that it might be a bit confusing. As it mentions, speaking to a group of refugees that have fled their homes due to persecution underneath the mango tree through an interpreter. And just to clarify, English is the national language, or the official language, rather, of Nigeria. They all speak English there, so I don't have to go to... I've already attended language school for English, so we don't have to learn another language when we go down there. Those people that needed an interpreter, those were people that were leaving the northern end of the country and even parts of the country immediately to the north, which is Niger. So when we were in there in Nigeria for 3 months, we were there for 3 months. We were there from January 27 to April 27 of 2023. And we were able to communicate with everybody right off the bat. They understood me. I understood them. So Genesis chapter number 6. And I tell you what, I'm going to have a word of prayer because I definitely want to make sure that y'all get up out on time. And I want you to do something for me, really something for our Lord, rather. There's been some prayer during the service already, but you know, prayer time is never a waste of time. And I understand this is my first time attending the church service here. And what I found myself doing, just being in church since 1999, is that when there's a new person, I just like analyze their prayer and see how they're praying and see if there's something that I could like copy in their prayer life or something like that. But just don't zone out during this time. As I pray out loud for God to bless this message, I'd like you to pray in your heart that God will speak to you about what it is that God wants you to do with it. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. It's a great honor. I know that when a pastor turns over the pulpit to a visiting missionary, a visiting preacher, that is not something done lightly, that this is their flock and they're shepherding it the way they believe that you want. I pray that you would use me this morning. Holy Spirit of God, take control. Help me get out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis chapter number 6, and I'm going to start here. Let's start here at verse number 11. The Bible says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So Genesis chapter number 6 is a story of why God decided to destroy the entire human race except for one man and his family. And it could be abbreviated by saying, God destroyed the entire human race except for one man and his family, but God didn't do that. God gave us 22 verses, a lot of which are dealing with what mankind was like prior to the flood. And it's a good thing he did that, because if he didn't, we'd have no way of knowing what mankind was like back then. The Bible uses a very strong word to describe what he was going to do. He uses the word destroy. And if you study that word out, it literally means to rub out. In other words, if there was a painter that was painting a work of art, and they found that there was something in that work of art that they just didn't care for, They would rub it out, they would completely erase it, and then they would paint over it. So now the only people that know what used to be there is number one, the painter, and number two, whoever the painter decides to tell. And God said, your civilization, your culture is so wicked before me and so grievous to me, I'm going to completely wipe out everything. And the only way people are even going to know this even occurred or what mankind was like back then is what I decide to keep in the Word of God, what I decide to put in the Bible. And I will say this, the Bible also teaches that I am the Lord, I change not. There's a number of things that means, but I'm only going to mention two of them. Number one, that means that something that bothers God back then bothers God today. Sin bothers God. Okay, it's not gotten to a point where he says, okay, well, mankind has been lying ever since the day that they were created, just about, and it no longer bothers me, I got used to it. No, sin bothers God. All right, and sin will always bother God. By the same token, something can happen in the Old Testament and that pleases the Lord. That same thing will please the Lord today. Now, the methods may change, but there's still ways that we can please the Lord that they did back then that we can please the Lord today. And I want you to think about the fact that the central theme of the entire Bible is that God wants to have a relationship with you, you personally. And a part of having a relationship with somebody is understanding the other person. And if you think about it, you know, God's never going to go to you and say, you know what? I didn't know that about you. He knows everything. He wants us to understand him, so he gives us context in the Bible on things that will please him and the things that bother him. So the very beginning of Genesis chapter number 6, these are the sins that mankind was committing that was grievous to his heart. And it wasn't a case of him being angry. And I used to think when I first got saved that God looked down at mankind, God got angry, and God just wiped everybody out. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches he was grieved and he was hurt. All right. And I find it very interesting when he talks about destroying the earth that he says, I will destroy them with the earth. So the very earth that God created, he created the earth and he put man in the garden and he told man to keep the garden. He said that means protect. And instead of protecting the earth, mankind was filling it with bloodshed. And violence is a recurring theme throughout all of Genesis chapter number 6. And he says, I'm going to use that very earth to destroy you. And if you remember in Genesis chapter number 1, God separated the waters that were above the earth from below the earth. And the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, parenthetically about creation, that he set boundaries for the waters that they would not pass his commandment. And the Bible also teaches that all things are sustained by his power. God didn't just create the heavens and the earth and he let, okay, everything is on autopilot. No, he is actively a part of creation even to this day. That's the reason the earth continues to rotate around the sun. That's the reason we have gravity. That's the reason we have all the things that we do. And he says, you know, that very earth that I created for you, I am going to use to destroy you. And I use that as a reminder to me because I don't want God to have to get my attention the same way. I don't want God to, I look at my life this way. It's not like I have two stacks where this is the stack of things that God has given me over here, and this is the stack of things that I have of my own power that I got on my own. I have nothing of my own. Everything that I have is a gift from Almighty God. Yeah. Because, you know, I remember traveling through West Virginia, and there was a deer that was going full steam ahead, and it stopped right before it would have hit our vehicle, and we just drove straight through. And I don't want God to have to get my attention. You see, you think that's just because of sheer coincidence, sheer luck, that your wife was a good driver. She does the driving for us because 90% of the time she has a car sickness, but it doesn't affect her as long as she's driving. So she's been doing a lot of the driving, and that's been a blessing to me. I can be on the phone calling churches and getting prophets chambers lined up, getting meetings scheduled. She's been a tremendous blessing helping to me. But sometimes I have to remind myself, yes, even though my wife is a good driver, the fact that that deer didn't hit us is not because of her. It's because of the mercy of Almighty God. Yeah. Now, I want you to find an interesting contrast in Genesis chapter number 9. Let's look a few pages over in Genesis chapter number 9, starting in verse number 11. The Bible says, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God's going to repeat himself a few different times for emphasis. I want you to pick up on that. Verse number 12, the Bible says, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring the cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God didn't just give a promise here. He doubled down repeatedly saying, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. He uses the phraseology of a covenant promise. Now, a lot of promises in the Bible go like this. If you do this first, I promise I'll do this. All right? Well, this is a covenant promise, which basically means regardless of what you do, regardless of how you treat me, I'm promising I'm never going to destroy the earth again with a flood. Now, what changed? How did we get from Genesis 6, I'm going to destroy all mankind, except for this one man and his family, about 2.5, 3 chapters later, he says, I'm never going to do this again, and it's so important to me that I never do this again, I'm going to create rainbows. And he specifically says, I'm going to create rainbows as a reminder to me. How many of you understand this morning God does not need a reminder? Okay, he doesn't. But it was very important to him. Now, I thought we said, I am the Lord, I change not. How did what changed here? Well, something changed in the heart of God. Now, if you remember in the book of Jonah, for example, there's a wicked people over here that were the enemies of God's people, and he did not even want them to die and go to hell. So he sent a prophet over there, and the message was, in 40 days, you're all going to die. But what happened? From the king all the way down to the poorest individual, they repented and God said, I'm going to have mercy on those people. Something happened between Genesis 6 and Genesis 9 in the heart of God that caused him to look at mankind and say, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on every single human being alive. which at the time was Noah and his family, but he is God, and he can look ahead to the future and says, I know every single human being that's ever going to live, and regardless of how that person is going to treat me, I'm going to have mercy because of one event that took place. Now, if I would like to know what that event was, because the Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. If something pleased the Lord that much back then, the same thing would please the Lord today. The methods may change a little bit, but the same idea would please the Lord. And the wonderful thing is, God records in Scripture what that was. Look at Genesis chapter number 8, starting at verse number 20. The Bible says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I've done. Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he sacrificed unto the Lord, and the Lord said, this is a sweet smelling savor unto me. And immediately afterwards, God says, I'm never going to do this again. Now, there's three things that have made a profound impact in my life that I want to point out from this story. If you can, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. First thing is, what Noah did, it pleased the Lord. If you look at Philippians, chapter number 4, starting verse number 15, the Bible says, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again under my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I want you to notice Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God uses the exact same phraseology and terminology here, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Yeah. What happened in Philippians chapter number 4 is that there was a church that took up an offering so a missionary could go to another country and give out the gospel. And God looked down at that specific church and said, it's pleasing to me. The same thing will please the Lord today. If even though this was in the book of Acts, the same thing pleases the Lord today. When you as a church, and I could see your missions-minded church, I walked around and I saw the missionaries that you have on the wall, and I kept walking. Wow, there's more and more. It seemed like every hallway had another group of missionaries. I want to encourage you to keep that up, because when you obey the Lord by returning to the Lord what's His, you put your tithe in the offering plate. But on top of that, you put more in the offering plate so the cause of Christ can go around the world. God looks down at this church and says, what Tyler Road Baptist Church is doing right now is pleasing to me. Yeah. And beyond just a collective body of when you as an individual Christian do that, God looks at you and says, what my child is doing that right there is pleasing to me. And look, in a world that stinks with sin, if this is something that I could do that would please the Lord, I'd like to think I'd do it even if there's no reward for it. But the wonderful news is not only do we get to please the Lord by doing it, but we get rewarded for it as well. We get the best of both worlds, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you can make it there. The first thing was, it pleased the Lord. The second thing, as far as we know, this wasn't commanded. God had told Noah to build an ark, and he was very specific about all the details. He said, I want you to build an ark. I want it to be made to these exact dimensions. I want it to be made out of this specific type of wood. I want it to be 3 stories tall. I want there to be a door right here. I want there to be a window right here. He was very specific about the details. But as far as we know, there's nowhere in Scripture, at least, where God looked at him and said, when you get off that ark, you make sure you sacrifice unto me. So as far as we know, God did not command Noah to do this. And I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse number 7. The Bible says, Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse number 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I want you to notice that phrase, to prove the sincerity of your love. I'm going to concentrate on that. You know, when I go out sowing, one of my favorite verses to use is Romans 5:8. What does Romans 5:8 say? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I had to look at a young man in the eye. We went out sowing in, I can't remember the city, in Dallas. We went out sowing in Dallas at the homeless area over there, and I was witnessing to a homeless man, and I said, you know, commendeth, that's a word that we don't use in the English language that much anymore, but it means to show or to prove. And what God is saying in Romans 5:8 is that I showed you and I proved to you how much I loved you by what I did. And what does 2 Corinthians 8 says? To prove the sincerity of your love. He says, I'm giving you the same opportunity to show me and to prove to me how much you love me by what you give. And if you think about what God gave us what was most precious to him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Last thing I want you to do is stay here in 2 Corinthians 8. I'm going to read Genesis 9:1. The Bible says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the last thing is, it benefited Noah when he did this. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. It will begun before, not only to do, but also to be 40 years ago. Expedient. That's also a word we don't use in the English language anymore. But if you were to look up the word expedient, it means advantageous or profitable. God's saying it benefits you when you give to the Lord by giving to missions. Now, I can look at each and every single one of you in the eye this morning and tell you that once I started giving aggressively to missions, there was a change in my life. My relationship with the Lord got a lot closer, a lot sweeter, and I wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. There's been wisdom and opportunities and doors of opportunity. I'm not 100% sure that I'd have the wife that I have if I wasn't doing that. And I'm not trying to preach a prosperity type thing. I'm saying that my relationship with the Lord got a lot closer. Now, I've had people tell me before that they're not worried about rewards in heaven. They're just worried about getting there. That's a very, very sad statement for a number of reasons. I'm just going to point out two of them. Number one, knowing for sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven, that's something very easy and simple to get taken care of. You can have that assurance. If you don't have that assurance this morning, I'm sure Pastor would love to talk to you about it. The second thing is, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, why would he say that? You know, heaven is his home. That's where he lives. He knows what it's like up there. And I believe he's looking down and he loves us. And he says, trust me, I know what it's like up here. I know you're going to want to have rewards when you get up here. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? I have a few quick closing thoughts and then I'll turn it over to Pastor. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to think about this. You know, there's a missionary years ago by the name of Jim Elliot. And he's famous for a statement. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you think about that, that's a biblical concept. You know, the Bible teaches you're not going to get up to heaven and find out, well, you did have all these rewards, but prior to getting up here, we weren't paying attention, somebody stole it. Bible teaches you're not going to get up to heaven and say, well, you know what, you earned this robe over here, this outfit, but the moth's got a hold of it. No, Jesus said that you can't even give out a cup of cold water in his name without God making note of it and making sure that you get rewarded for it. You know what? If we get rewarded for a cup of cold water, imagine the rewards we get for helping the gospel go out through the whole world. You know, Jesus Christ can come back at any time. And when he does, I'm telling you right now, every single last one of us, we're either going to say, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had. You know what? The Bible says, it talks about the days of Noah. Well, you know what? We're living in the days of Noah. And in a world that stinks with sin, if this is something that I could do, that number one, would please the Lord, and number two, I'd get rewarded for it, I can't think of a single reason in the world I would not want to get in on it.
Let's stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. God spoke into your heart today. Let him take care of that in your life by you surrendering to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that we would decide to follow you. Lord, I thank you for Jeremy and the charge that we got. And Lord, I just ask that we would be faithful to you at this time. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today they would have that eternally settled. Father, for us that are maybe saying, it's not me, help us to realize it is us, that we need to follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.